Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast about the things that you'd like to talk about if you didn't want an expert opinion about it. If you don't want to learn anything new, we're your crew.
Yeah, if you just want to talk.
My name's Caroline. And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yep, we've got my dog Ridley snuggled up on Caroline. My animals like to test your allergies.
Yeah, well, allergies are going to win this battle, so we better record this one quickly. And or should you be listening to this and hop into like minute 27 and suddenly I don't sound like myself?
Yeah.
It's not a new co-host or a guest. It's me.
Send the Zyrtec.
Please.
What has been going on this week with women?
Okay, good. I can make this work.
Okay.
Yesterday night, I was like, I cannot wait to record. Also, yesterday night sounds way harder than just last night.
Yeah, agreed.
Last night, I was so excited to record to recommend the show that David and I started watching.
Okay.
Starring two women.
Okay.
Then we watched another couple episodes tonight while we were waiting to record, and I can't decide whether to recommend it or not.
Oh, interesting.
It gets creepy AF.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Okay. It's called The Act on Hulu.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No, but my sister-in-law recommended it to me.
Okay.
For like those same reasons.
Okay. So it's starring Patricia Arquette and Joey King. So that's what women, I mean, they're women.
Yeah. Patricia Arquette, basically unrecognizable.
True. I mean, I have very good celebrity recall.
Yeah.
Like, very good. And 10 minutes into the first episode, I was like, what actress is that? Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that I knew her, but it was uncanny.
Yeah.
So it follows the story of Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard. It's a true story. I told David I definitely would not like it if it were not true, because I get kind of prudy about shows like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had watched a 2020 or a Dateline about this case a couple years ago and became fascinated by it.
Yeah.
Apparently there is a documentary on HBO called Mommy, Dead and Dearest.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's that documentary.
Right.
So Hulu
came
out with this mini series.
Yeah.
And pretty much like Chloe Sevigny's in it and Anna Sophia Robb are also in it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a great cast, but really Joey King and Patricia Arquette, if they don't win awards
for this.
Yeah.
I got to watch it. It's on my...
David
just figured out how to add shows to my what to watch on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
So...
add this. But just know, like, episode 4-ish, it gets really kind of disturbing. But again, it's true.
What was the other... you were saying something else recently about something, and you were like, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't be into it. Was it Educated?
No, it was... I think I did tell you that.
Uh-huh.
Solo. But I was saying that about the movie Masterminds on Netflix.
Oh, that's right. Last week.
Completely different side of the coin.
Yeah.
Because that one's like stupidly ridiculous, but this is like disturbingly crazy. But David, last night we were at the end of episode 3, and we never usually watch like 3 hours of a show in one night. But he was like, oh, I just want to stay up and watch it. And so like the minute we got the girls down this morning, I made a quick dinner and we were like, turn it on.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah, right. I did steak, Hannah. I'm not an animal.
You're not me.
Bag salad and steak some heirloom tomatoes.
We've been doing a lot of chicken nuggets, so it's fine. Opposite side of the same coin.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Women are killing the acting game.
Yeah.
And no pun intended, women are killing each other. Spoiler alert.
I just learned that... from, as we've talked a little bit about Big Little Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Meryl Streep's real name is Mary Louise. Did you know this?
Meryl Streep's real name?
Yeah. Her real Streep is her real name. Meryl is a nickname.
How meta.
And Leanne Moriarty.
Yeah.
I always think I'm saying that wrong because Moriarty is such a literary name that I'm like, it can't be, but she's an accomplished author.
Would you like me to try to pronounce it? We got a lot of feedback on my pronunciation of Noa.
Leanne Moriarty. She wrote this with Meryl Streep in mind.
Originally,
which I think is awesome.
Yeah, well, speaking of like embodying her character, I mean, she's fantastic in that.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift has been making waves again. Taylor Swift, last week, I think it was like the day after we recorded or the day we released, it was announced that her entire musical catalog had been sold to Scooter Braun, whose name has been in the headlines before. He is kind of infamous, but not necessarily completely negatively, but kind of as Justin Bieber's manager.
Right. Yeah.
He was Ariana Grande's manager, kind of off and on.
Mixed reviews on him.
Yeah. He and Justin Bieber have had a couple fallings out and then like reunited or whatever. But Taylor Swift's old record label sold her catalog to Scooter Braun. So now he owns every piece of her work. She posted on Instagram.
Well, quick pause. To be clear, this is not something I understood, that your record, like, she doesn't own that music.
Correct.
Like, by record label, that doesn't mean she was involved in it when you say that.
Oh, yes. This was sold. So what I was started to say was she posted on Instagram to explain that for years and years, she has begged for the opportunity to own her own music.
Right, right, right.
And if she knew that this record label is a smaller, I think she's with Sony now. I may be wrong, but this is a smaller label.
Mm-hmm.
And said, if you ever sell this work, because I know that you will ultimately be bought out, I want the opportunity to own it. Without her knowledge, it was sold to Scooter Braun. And she and Scooter have supposedly have had some kind of feud, which I didn't really know about before. But Scooter was like very instrumental in sharing some of the Kanye Taylor audio files that, you know, there's some controversy there. And then using Taylor Swift's naked body in Kanye's video Celebrity. I'm pretty sure it was Celebrity. You in fact checked me.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it's called Celebrity.
Yeah.
And so she was just feeling like, now another man owns my work as a artist. I should have first
right
to own everything that I do. And I felt like very articulately described what happened. She did kind of put Scooter on blast. Not kind of. She majorly did.
Mm-hmm.
But her ultimate point was to girls who are artists and making things in the world, you need to own what you do, because she said, you know, my legacy of all of these years of work don't belong to me anymore. He can do whatever he wants with them and she has no say.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, aside from the personal aspect of the fact that she made a point to say in that post that every time that the person who sold the music knew that she did not like Scooter Braun.
Right.
Like, she said something like, every time you've heard me say his name, I'm either crying or trying not to,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So she obviously has a contentious relationship with him. Whatever. No matter if there's a right or wrong there.
Sure.
She doesn't like him. But she had no power to not give her music to him. It's interesting in the creative world how often you don't own your own work.
So that it brought up for me, I have done copywriting for a lot of clients. And unbeknownst to me, particularly with a couple of projects that I've worked on, I have become a ghostwriter, but I didn't sign on for that. So
that's called plagiarism, but okay.
Right. But I've written two books that are not my name.
Really?
I don't have credit for them. I was paid for the work.
Oh, okay.
So,
but you didn't know it was going to be for a book, or?
I knew it was going to be for a book, but I did not realize there would be no
credit whatsoever
at all. That it would all be under someone else's name.
Yeah.
And that is hard because I'm like, yeah, I was compensated for it and that's great. But if I go to say, I can't tell someone.
You can't put it on like a resume.
A portfolio. Like I wrote this because there's nothing to back that up.
Anyone could say that.
Yeah. So while everyone knows that Taylor Swift wrote things, it is hard to not be able to represent yourself the way you would like to represent yourself.
Right. I mean, even in the publishing world, even if you do get your name on the books, you know, as the author, you still get such a small portion of that. Like, you still don't really, I don't think you own it all. I think it depends on the contract, but like, you don't have the power and the majority of the profits.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's just an interesting conversation, because I think we touched briefly several weeks ago, because this is a conversation that has died down a little bit in the Hollywood writers world, but there was like a really big controversy with the Writers Guild because they were trying to basically like get paid for their work, because writers make Hollywood happen.
Right.
But like the agents are the ones making all the money because they're the ones who can connect. So it's like the people without the talent get more money, I feel like.
Right.
And it's interesting because it's like, well, the system is set up now to where you have to have those people. Like, you can write a book and sell it independently, but you're not going to get the same distribution and profits as if you sell it with Penguin Random House.
Right.
But you are, like, still losing out on quite a bit of, I don't know, profits. But then you also maybe wouldn't have gotten that in the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, the power structure for creatives.
Well, Kelly Clarkson, also a powerhouse in her own right, reached out to Taylor.
All around amazing person.
Yeah. Reached out to Taylor Swift this weekend to say, just a thought, you should go in and re-record all the songs that you don't own the masters on exactly how you did them, but put brand new art in some kind of incentive so fans will no longer buy the old version. So, take the power back.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how that copyright works, because now still Scooter Braun still owns them. But I love that she was trying to be like, crash the patriarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell your fans, basically.
Power. Switch up the power.
Yeah, put the power in your fans' hands to.
Isn't that what. I think that the copyright exists only for exactly as the
masters.
Yeah, because radio stations, I think, get around that by speeding up or slowing down a track.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think.
If you're in the music world,
DM Caroline, because we might be just totally full of it right now.
But I did think that was great. Own your own power as a creative. And, I think that even if we went back and listened to the first episode of this podcast, since we are also incredible artists,
same level as Taylor Swift,
right,
obviously,
there would probably be something we would record differently / the whole
easily.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you look back on her, she came out with some of her first music when she was, 14 or 15, Teardrops on My Guitar. I'm sure there's stuff that
memories.
She would do. I'm sure there's stuff that she would do differently now as an artist.
If I were her, I couldn't go and re-record. I can't go and read all stuff I've written.
Right. It's hard.
It's over. It's done with.
It's hard.
It's
yeah.
And when you're digging in creatively and producing some kind of art, I'm sure anyone who is remotely in creates anything feels this way. I mean, and I think to some extent, anything you do, parenting can be this way. Your old self is your old self. You don't you can't imagine revisiting it. Mm-hmm. And when you do that by writing a story or putting music to paper and making a song out of it, or even in little ways, decisions I used to make in the office when I first started working out of college, that's a stranger to me, that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know her
anymore. And it's uncomfortable for me to visit that.
Yeah.
If I were her, I love that Kelly Clarkson is saying that, but if someone was I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of one of the most successful songwriters
in
modern day.
Hard.
So it's an easy jump, but I can't imagine the answer being revisit every, because she's also so emotional in her songwriting.
Yes.
So imagine reliving all of that and then having to change it up a little. And
if I had to rewrite a song to a crush I had at 15, I would be I just would rather not do it.
Right.
But I do understand her wanting to own and control what it is that she's created, but not necessarily having to redo it. I'd be that would be getting into mile 24 of a marathon and somebody being all right, start over. And
nope.
I just don't want to.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm going to come off here and start.
But
playing piano.
But it's amazing.
That was random.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's amazing that the long line of, as I think about it, specifically female musical artists who have been held captive by
Kesha.
Yeah, Kesha is one. Do you remember JoJo?
Yep.
She was and hasn't been able to make music as a piece of her old contract. She's filed suits.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why she kind of disappeared.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Mandy Moore talks about how she was held captive by her husband.
What's his name?
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams. Ryan Adams.
Ryan Adams.
Right.
Brian Adams.
please don't sue us, Brian Adams. Love you.
We think you're great.
You're amazing.
But it's interesting that in these spaces, I think, again, this is why women need to be in these positions of power to help look out for each other. Because you think about these, a Kesha or a JoJo who started when they were so young. And even Mandy Moore, she was a teenager. So she's going to trust the people in power, which tend to be men.
Well, that's the whole Harvey Weinstein argument is all of the so many women that had their careers curtailed because they wouldn't do what he wanted sexually.
Yeah.
Or women who is it that. Isn't it Ashley? Someone else just fell off the map.
Mm-hmm.
Several people. And then you realize it's because they turned him down.
Yeah. Mira Sorvino was one.
Yes, that's it. That's the one the woman I was thinking of. But it's just because the men in power were weren't standing up. So these young women at the time, young girls, a lot of them didn't have anywhere else to go. Didn't know what else to do, but sign on the dotted line, but go into this hotel room.
Well, and Taylor she thankfully has been able to make a lot of music, and it seems like the terms of her contract didn't forbid her from doing that. But I do appreciate now she's signing a light on it when she has the platform that she has. She isn't coming back like a Mira Sorvino where you're kind of like, oh yeah, what happened to her? And you'd already had these preconceived notions of like, oh, she got washed up or, you know, whatever happened to her.
It's a better
time. And then
time.
Trying to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a better time now for women to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this had happened back when Mira Sorvino's light was dying, not of her own accord as well, I don't think it would have been
Like right after she filmed Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion, which is like one of my top three favorites. Yeah, she wasn't in a position, I don't think, to be able to say, hey, by the way.
Right. But I mean, just with
on the heels of the success.
This is the time when, like, this is just a different time. Like,
correct.
Women
That's
are
what
all
I'm saying,
coming to a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Renaissance.
Yeah, I guess so. That's
You're
good.
Like, no, but I'll.
No, I was thinking it through. I like that. But. It's just, it's like, you know, these things were all happening then. Everything has been happening. None of this is new. It's just that now people are kind of able to say, hey, how does this work? Because
mm-hmm.
I just don't think it would have been looked at the same way if this had happened to a contemporary of someone in the 90s.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, interesting back and forth. For what it's worth, a lot of people have from, like, all different walks of the musical life have come forward and said Scooter Braun's a great person.
Yeah.
But I think the thing there is that like this has happened with a lot of people, specifically men who have been accused of things by one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like someone else will come and say, no, he's nice to me. So that's impossible. And it's like, just because Johnny Depp or Scooter Braun or anyone else is a good whatever to you doesn't mean it's the same. Like, you don't feel the same way about every single person in the world. So you need to understand that this person may not be the same to you. Like, I understand that it might be hard to swallow, but like, wait a beat before you just come out and say like nothing. He's only been, I don't know.
Supportive of me.
Might be in their contract for all I know. Yeah. They might've been like their, gotten a message saying you need to say something, who knows. But
one of my friends left a job recently where she was just victimized in every way that you can think of by the two male owners, and so wrote about it on Glassdoor multiple times. Like every time she would kind of like process one thing that happened, she would write a review on Glassdoor, and ended up getting a cease and desist letter in the mail. Apparently in her like employee manual, there is a statement that you will not post negative things about the company for 18 months after you leave. Mm-hmm. And you know, most people by the time 18 months is gone, they're like, I'm not going to go back.
Yeah,
and like,
they're not going to revisit.
Yeah. Cause why do that? But I'm of the opinion that if you have to put that in your user manual, like maybe something's a little bit off.
Here.
Like,
yeah.
That's kind of like you're going on the defense offensively.
Right. Speaking of defense and offense,
are we talking about World Cup again?
Yes, just briefly, because I don't have eloquent things to say about this. I just want to say we talked a lot about Megan Rapinoe last week, and in many weeks, she did a bonus episode with Pod Save America last week.
Wait! Are you promoting
one of the most successful podcasts in the world that definitely needs my help? Yes.
Thanks, Pod Save America, for the deposit in our bank for this spot.
I just loved it because she really touches on a lot of things, and she's a very relatable person. And once you listen to her, because like she's one of those people that it's like, oh, this is what you sound like, and like you know, you see things that people do, but like you don't actually hear them sit down and have a conversation quite a bit. And she had a lot of interesting things to say about the argument for and against the equal pay for women.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts things really well. She knows what she's talking about. So go listen to that. Because I learned quite a bit. And she does make a point to say, like, as far as like compensation of actually being paid, that's really not like, it's apples and oranges compared to like what the men are paid. Because like, she's like, what we have concerns with are much different. Like it's these other things like blah, blah, blah. I don't want to spoil it, but that, kneeling for the during the national anthem, what she thought would happen, what actually happened. And then just like how she feels like today with like everything she has in front of her. And it was a great episode. And so I think since we've talked about her a lot and her potential motives, she comes right out and says it. So if you're at all interested, go check out that episode.
Also, I was equally important flipping through pictures on the internets today, and people were melting down over Beyonce and Meghan Markle hanging out last night. Did you
see this? I have been all over the internets today.
Well, that's not true. Your cell data was off. So,
but in the morning and at night.
Okay.
Before I was out of my Wi-Fi zone.
Well, last night was the premiere. I guess it was the London premiere of Lion King.
What?
Okay.
Why did BuzzFeed not cover it? It's because it's a freaking Amazon Prime Day.
Oh,
that's all they've been covering.
Hang on. I'll show you. While you take in the splendor that are those pictures, Okay, you know that I'm very meh about Beyonce and Jay-Z, but it did bring up this whole point to me of like, who cares that they're talking to each other? And this is somebody who really loves celebrities.
Right.
But there were like multiple articles on every site I went to, which, as you can tell, I go to very, very academic
news
sites.
Heavy.
Yeah.
CNN.
Yes, this is what I do for professional development. but I was just like, all it is pictures of them talking. And then Instagram had a 1 minute video of somebody like from the red carpet videoing them talking to each other. And I'm like, ultimately, like, who cares about this?
Right.
But like, I just thought it was an interesting time. And this is from somebody who is majorly into celebrities and is such a voyeur.
Right.
I was like, why are we watching these people talk to each other? Like, what is this? How is this furthering anything?
It's like, that's not interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you could have included that in a compilation of the Lion King UK premiere photos.
For sure.
That would have been interesting.
Be the header. Whatever.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I get why people like it, but I was also like, why are we like cell phone videoing like three celebrities talking to each other?
It's this whole like, you have to report on everything, because in just scanning that, they're like, as parents of three, Beyonce probably had a lot to say to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, first of all, we're speculating quite a bit about what.
Yeah. Well, the sub headline under that article was Beyonce says baby Archie is so beautiful. And it's like, well, it would have been more newsworthy if she had been like, man, that is a woof baby.
Yeah. Not as just beautiful as any of my three children
royalty
that I've birthed.
Don't make you cute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that would have been great. That right. would have been news I wanted to read.
I would have wanted to read about
this
that.
It's like, why is this all over my feed?
That's like one of those articles that like people go in and comment. They're like, why did I just read this?
Yeah.
It's like in the comments section. And then you have the people who comment back to them who are like, you knew what you were getting into on this. It's like,
well,
fair,
I know.
Honestly.
I look at lots of things. I watch Real Housewives, which admittedly,
I know, it's like at least
is
content
that.
Though. Like, some stuff is just not content.
Yeah.
A whole article with photos from every angle of the two of them hugging, which
what is that achieve? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Prime Day, which is today. So by the time this comes out, it will have been over.
Old news.
But I was looking at it today. I don't even have Prime, but I was pretending that I do.
Sure.
And starting to think of Christmas gifts. And birthday gifts.
Oh, you're
talked
so
about
organized.
Before.
You're such a professional mom.
Well, because we have birthday December 18th,
oh, yeah.
Christmas
crazy
the 25th,
holiday
then
season,
birthday January 5th.
Yeah.
I do start to buy little bits at a time. Like, I spend a little
bit
throughout the month so we don't get slammed at the end of the year. And I'd just like to be done with it. Are you thinking about Christmas yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I am not.
That's all I had.
My birthday's in a week. So why care about anybody else?
Fair. My birthday is not that far behind yours. It's days later.
I know.
You're turning 30, so I guess
30, the big 30.
Would you like me to hire a photography crew to come and take pictures of us chatting on your driveway?
Definitely. I should have already done that.
Why haven't we done that? Lauren.
But yeah. My birthday is coming up, big 30, so that's another big thing happening in the world of women.
Sure. Well, so back to Prime Day. Have you found anything for yourself? How are you purchasing?
I found a few things.
For you?
Actually don't have Prime, but we got it. You can, I guess, get it
month
for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We paid for it because we wanted to watch Psych.
I thought you did have it.
We stopped. We have not had it for like 6 months.
Oh, okay.
And
our
spending has gone
saver.
Down. Well, we got Costco instead.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, you're going to spend your money somewhere. But yeah, we haven't had Prime for about 6 months. And I have found that because, you know, when you have Amazon Prime, it's like, oh, I need this. I'll just go buy it.
It's
free. And then I'm like, kind of need this. Might as well buy it. Like, you know, you're not.
Just throw it in the cart.
Right. Exactly. And there's the convenience factor. I really was concerned when we didn't renew it about the convenience factor.
Yeah.
losing that, but mm-hmm. it is actually like not noticeable at this point.
Yeah, people like gasp when I say that we're not Prime members. Usually, like, we'll get it for like October, November if we're buying Christmas gifts because you can go month to month for $12.
Right.
But I'm like, really, we don't order that much stuff online to make the cost worth it in shipping. Like, it's not free shipping. It's $100 flat rate that you're spending per year.
And not only that, if you buy a minimum of $25, things are available for like free shipping for like 5 days.
Right.
So,
which apparently is actually better for factory workers and people who are packing things to choose.
I would assume
longer days.
Because, like, I put in an order for Milan's birthday, which is the same day as my birthday. So that's coming up too.
Oh, wait, what is that date again?
Don't worry about it. It's my 30th birthday.
And Milan's 5th. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's not 30. I mean, I made it through 30 years. But we ordered a couple things on a Sunday night, and half of it has come today.
Oh, wow.
So I almost like feel bad because I'm like, that's nuts. Like, what kind of frenzy is that? Quick segue to what are women doing with books?
Oh, okay.
In writing and blah, blah, blah. My friend Amy, actually sent me a book the other day, and just
a hard
copy
book. Mm-hmm.
Just the gesture of, and she was like, I have started this thing where I send, like, if I see a book that I think a friend would like or needs to read, I just send it.
That's
a gift.
Amazing.
And I love that. And this is a book about
Amy. Hannah will text you my
women
address.
Writers. Yeah, exactly. You can send hers to me, Amy. But it's a book about women writers, so of course it like speaks to my soul, and I just really loved that gesture. I think that's a great idea to. I don't know. It's like we don't send little things that often.
Yeah.
Amanda just sent me, I put this on our Instagram, a cute little mug.
Yeah.
I've been really lucky lately. My friends
really,
are really,
really
been great
friends.
To me lately. She sent me this precious mug and it says world's best plant parent. And I'm just like, send more little gifties. Like, we can't see our friends all that often.
Right.
In person a lot of times. You can see like some friends just like put little things in the mail. It's real nice.
Yeah,
people
it is.
Like getting
it's so
mail.
Great. Well, I noticed, speaking of hard books, and not to circle back to Prime Day, but our listener, Rachel.
We better be getting a check from Amazon.
Well, our listener, again, this will be old news by the time this comes out. Anyway, she found that for actual book purchases of $15 or more, Prime has a code to take $5 off book purchases, which I thought was really great because, you know, they obviously are making money hand over fist with their Kindles, but I really like that they were giving, you know, a special on hardbound books because, as you know, while I love my Kindle, I miss the girth of a book in my hand.
I go back and forth. I like the Kindle for its convenience, but there are some things I just want to have in book form, especially books like the one Amy got me because it's more of like you... Like it would be one I would want to go back to. It's
yeah,
not like
re-reference.
Just a read through novel and then return it to the library.
Speaking of read throughs, you finished Educated.
Yes.
Tell me what you thought.
I finished Educated and I finished Essie.
Yes.
It took me a while to like sit with it. Based on finishing that book, I have binged Three Wives, One Husband on Netflix.
Okay.
And I also started watching the only season available of Sister Wives that's on Hulu. I don't know. I mean, none of those books are about polygamy,
but
they talk about polygamy a little bit in Educated.
Yes.
Her family is not polygamist, but
they are fundamentalists.
They're fundamentalist Mormons, and they sound like the family on Three Wives, One Husband, the group.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that one?
No.
You haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another... it's not that it... I don't know. I can't explain why I want to watch it. It's completely different stories. I guess I just... I know something about like that whole part of the country I need to tune into. But read it. If you haven't read it, read it. It's so gripping. And it's just an interesting tale about abuse. And I say that knowing that if it were me listening, that would maybe make me not get it. But it's just not what you think it is.
For sure.
It's not even a book that's like you're gonna, you know, like there are books that I'm just like, I can't get through that, like that's too rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that at all. It's just really interesting. It's more about the author's reflections on her life. It's not really like super detailed or super gruesome, I would say.
There are some forums I'll have to send you the link to if you have read Educated and are interested in more. There are maybe under Goodreads, there's like this whole comment board in which multiple people in her life comment on the book positively and negatively, even people who she still remains in communication with, mm-hmm. who said those were not my memories, but they were her memories. So
I read from her older brother saying that, because mm-hmm. she has different relationships with all of her brothers.
And her ex-boyfriend comments
as
well.
Yes, I read his.
Which I thought were all very well thought out. And I did appreciate that nobody tried to undermine what she was saying.
Yeah.
In those circles. I mean, other people did, but they were just saying what we all take away from tragedy and trauma are very different things, and that doesn't make somebody's wrong.
Right. And the gaps in their ages are also pretty big as well. So mm-hmm. that I thought that it was a really mature way of saying, like, I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Because they, like, one of her brothers specifically said, I didn't remember it this way, but the things that she's referring to, she was a child at the time. So from her perspective, I respect that it looked like that to her. Yeah. Like, this isn't my life. But anyway, the point, it's not even, it almost like doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, it doesn't matter if, like, the nitpicking and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like, the whole point is power. And then, like, how you react when you don't feel empowered, I think. And, mm-hmm. In Three Wives, One Husband on Netflix, which is like the stupidest title ever, but Sister Wives was taken. I really liked it because, like, Sister Wives is very staged because it's TLC.
Yeah.
But this one just felt very raw, and like they really get into like the emotions of everyone involved. And I am not obviously out here trying to set up a Sister Wives situation.
Okay, I'm out.
I'm
out.
Much to the shock of everyone listening. But they do deal with in the show a Utah law that comes up talking about like trying to outlaw polygamy based on the fact that many people suffer from like abuse and stuff like that in different ways. And it's just interesting to see from that perspective, the people who are on the show are talking about like when you other people, mm-hmm. like when you make someone feel like what they're going through, what they believe is different, they are not going to come forward with their abuse stories.
That's a great point.
So like, if you think there's like abuse problems, deal with those things, mm-hmm. like make those things legal. Don't make, cause their point in the show was I could have a wife and two mistresses and you wouldn't.
Hmm. Yep.
There'd be no recourse. It's just because I'm calling them my wife, mm-hmm. my wives, that you are trying to tell me that you could put me in jail for 5 years and take my family away. From that perspective alone, I'm like, that's a seriously good point. They have a lot of other issues. It's a good example of why you should just find out about people's lives before you make snap judgments. But to bring it back to educated, there are so many instances in her life, Tara Westover's life, where she couldn't reach out for help. Like, she was othered by society and all of the other, like, kids who would make fun of her because she couldn't read. And, like, they're just, the person who said this in Three Wives, One Husband, just, I thought that was a really good point. Like, he's like, when you ostracize people, they can't reach out for help. And so, I don't know. To me, it was really about, the book is about power. And so, pick it up and read it, because it's just not like anything I've ever read.
Yeah, totally.
The audiobook was good. It wasn't read by her, and I usually don't like audiobooks that are not read by the author, but mm-hmm. the girl did a good job.
I understand why it wasn't read by her, though. That feels like that would have been a lot.
It would have been, for sure. There was a point in her life when she goes to London to study, though, mm-hmm. and I wasn't prepared for the author to abruptly switch to like a British accent. I can't really take that seriously. Please don't do that.
That is really funny, because she didn't just like adopt a British accent when she went over there.
In talking about the other characters, because obviously she's reading it all, so she has to kind of do different accents and different voices, and so she like does a professor's accent. I'm like, ooh.
Well, we've been listening to audiobooks in the car, and we have the Amelia Bedelia series, which mm-hmm. the girls really love.
It's great.
Christine Ebersole, who I think was like famous back in the some other time period, does them, and her narration is wonderful, but she also is the voice of Amelia Bedelia, and I have a really difficult time with grown-ups doing children's voices.
But Amelia Bedelia is an adult.
Oh, sorry. You're wrong. Yes.
What?
In the books that we read growing up, yes, they have rebranded Amelia Bedelia to be little.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
She's still very literal.
Okay.
But so there's like this whole new generation of Amelia Bedelia where she's...
Oh, it's like Polly Pockets.
Yes, for sure. So we have some of the Amelia Bedelia's as grown-up ones.
Okay.
But the girls really like the ones where she's like her first day of school and, you know, all of these.
Oh, yeah, that would be weird.
But when there's a grown woman also being...
Right.
Like a small child's voice.
It's like you
feel
just
super creeped out.
Hired someone.
You're just
younger.
A voice actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As always, women are up to great things and we can never talk about it enough. So, should we take a quick break?
Let's do it. So, okay, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like very cliche, trite tropes on Instagram about motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I love it. Can't get enough. Consume that content. I've been seeing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Two different things because
I bet I can guess one of them.
Okay, go for it.
The 18 summers thing.
Thank you.
Is that it? That
yes.
was one of them?
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of you only have 18 summers with your children.
Right.
What are you doing?
My parents would beg to disagree as I've already spent most of my 30th summer.
And Nan's
them.
Like, enough.
Nan's like, someone told me I only had 18 summers.
I was
and
counting
I
on that. But then on the flip side, because mm-hmm. I have been exploring opportunities for work, constantly there is... Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What do you see
right, which
you
talk about
the trajectory
a lot. Yeah.
of? And I realize those two things stand at odds with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm really wrestling with this idea of how do we stay present
yeah.
in today when this clock is ticking against our 18 summers?
Right.
I say somewhat sarcastically and snidely.
Right.
But then also we're supposed to look forward with joy to,
right.
hey, when my kids are 9, 11
right.
and whatever, however old my kids are, then I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Can they be mutual?
Right. I think, I don't know. I feel like it's just hard to be present when you're constantly bombarded with other people's success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and I don't know if that's a problem with me personally. I don't know if it's a problem. Like, I don't okay. know if it's like we should celebrate other people's success. It's hard to see all of that and then think like it's okay for me not to be there right now.
Yeah.
Or to not want that right now. Kind of back to like some of last week's talk. But at the same time, like logistically, just because of, you know, we live in a capitalist society, you can't stay still.
Right.
You really always have to be planning for the future. Well, probably most societies. But especially because our costs of living are constantly
yeah.
going up. Our costs of living are constantly going up. And it's hard to feel comfortable just doing things like today. I did something fun with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I also sacrificed some work time for that.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, my kids had a good day today. And this was part of that. Like, this is summertime. We should enjoy summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's off. It's their summer break. Although that's not doesn't have the exact same meaning now as
yeah.
it will when they're like in actual school. But it feels like for me, I have to put off professional success for a little while.
Sure.
I think for me personally, I am getting a little more okay with that. Just because I feel more like it's easier to take the L.
Yeah. So I feel like I am at least in this season of my life, a decent place of commingling work and personal-ish.
Okay.
I'm at a decent part. But I do wrestle sometimes with like here in this moment with a 1-year-old, 2-year-old and 4-year-old. I love the chaos. I love the mess. Like
mm-hmm.
my children are delightful. But also, you know, I'll be looking on Instagram and I'll see somebody taking a family trip to Montana and their kids are hiking and they're not even that much older. They're like 4 and 6.
Right, yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I feel like we have some funds in the
yeah.
bank account to do that. Not that kids get less expensive, but it will
right.
feel like it a little bit. I can't wait till we can do that. I can't wait till we can all go do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But then I'm caught in this like guilt trap of
wishing it away.
Is me looking forward to years from now the same thing as wishing away our time now? Because you see all
right.
of these, like, don't blink. Don't,
right.
you know, you'll look back on this and I'm sure I will. But I also am like, but I think it's an okay thing to also be excited about what the next few
yeah.
years will bring.
And I kind of think that's just a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You never appreciate what you have while you have it. You know, we didn't appreciate, I'm assuming I'm the same as everyone else. You don't appreciate how when you're in school under your parents' roof, assuming you have a good, healthy relationship with your parents, you can have relatively few responsibilities.
Right.
You know, then you like get into the actual grown up world and you're like, well,
yeah,
I need my mom.
Yeah.
Like, and my dad, you know, like they're like my first calls for if anything goes wrong still. So like, or it goes right. They're my first calls for everything. But I think that's just part of life. And I think it hits moms more because we get a lot more of that. Like
the messaging,
it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
For me, as someone who isn't super obsessed with the young, like the infant and toddler stage, like I'm really enjoying where I'm getting at to right mm-hmm. now with the kids. So maybe that's why I'm feeling a little bit more positive, because as they were both younger, before you could do anything with them, like before you could, you know, you can even have like a great conversation with one of them. It's just, that's something that I've mostly blocked out.
Yeah.
I'm sure that when they're older, I will feel like, oh, I miss things. I miss when I could hold them and all.
Yeah.
For sure. Like,
well,
I understand.
I'll be holding my 40-year-old kids. I literally
told the kids that. I'm like,
screw you, osteoporosis.
Try
you're
getting
not
rid of
here.
Me. It's never going to happen. I don't see that as being a problem with my kids either. They can't get close enough to me. But I don't know. I think it's okay to look forward to it. What I set out as a goal from the beginning was not to say just, and I've broken this rule. I try and stick to it. I don't say that I can't wait for something. I say I'm looking forward to it.
I like that. It's a subtle shift in tone.
Right. Just because it's like, and I don't know that it has made that big of a change, except it reminds me when I say, well, no, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
That like, this is life now too. And this, like, I don't know. I don't want to feel like I wished
both.
It away.
Like, I do really like the infant toddler stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I worry that I'm like peaking now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am looking forward to some of the autonomy. And I think maybe, I'm sure some moms with older kids will laugh at me and you can DM me and that's fine. A little bit of the mom guilt subsides in that kids start to have their own autonomous stuff. You know,
I would like to know that. DM us and let us know what the mom guilt game is like for older kids.
Yeah. Like,
because
does it peak at a certain age?
Right. Or like for right now, I think it's a little harder because, we do every single thing.
Yeah.
But like when they're older and maybe they can make more choices on their own, it's a little different. Not in that it's like, oh, of course I'm going to let you go do this by yourself because you asked, but like everything is on us to make a decision.
Right.
Whereas
they start
like,
to have their own identities.
At least if they could say, no, I don't want to do this. Or yes, I do want to do this. It would help. I don't know. I would like to know from more professional moms than me.
Yeah.
What the mom guilt game looks like later on.
So I want, like, I also want to capture, well, I don't want 18 summers because summer is the worst.
I
want like 18 falls
it.
And winters.
Yeah.
And that's great.
18 Christmases. More Christmases.
Perfect. And I do want to soak all of those up. Like, I feel very mm-hmm. aware of not wanting to miss anything. And I put a lot of pressure on myself for that, which is my own issue. But I also don't want to be so focused on the present that I don't think about what am I setting them up for when they are
right
in school. You know, like, I'm realizing, and Allison helped me realize some of this, like, to help encourage more independent play, because I like to be in what exactly what they're doing, which may not set them up for success long term for either of us. Like, they need to be okay with their emotions. They need to be okay with boredom. I mm-hmm. can't cruise direct their whole lives. But it's, to me, it's constantly this like scale, you know, of how much am I doing this in this moment versus how much am I looking forward to setting them up in the future.
It's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And like, am I letting them be bored enough? Am I letting them have enough activities? Am mm-hmm. I, like, it's a lot on top of like regular adult things to worry about.
And then, but you know, it also goes like for professional in that same way of I can very much enjoy my job now while also knowing it's not what I'm going to be doing forever and keeping an eye on that. You know, it's kind of like living in a house and keeping your eye on the real estate market of like, I'm not looking to move.
I've been thinking that lately because we rent.
Right.
And I have spent up until this spring, we've been in this house for like 3 years or something like that. 4 years maybe now.
Mm-hmm. I think you're close to four.
Yeah. Almost 4 years. And up until this spring, because we rent, I've always had my eye on something else.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is what I should have started with, but it just hit me now. I have never really settled into the house.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, like, made it my house. I've only been looking for flaws and, like, mm-hmm. things that I would do differently. Because I think a lot of times renting is a valuable time to see what you want and what you don't want.
For sure.
So I've only been using it for that. But for whatever reason, I just kind of shifted my tone in the spring and have settled in. And,
that's great.
And I think, too, like, when your kids are a little older, you can just do stuff.
Would you say that you're rooted?
I would definitely say that.
Cool.
I'm upset I didn't think of it myself. But, you know, like just hanging curtains, buying mm-hmm. houseplants. And mm-hmm. of course, because I have no chill, I'm like 100 always. So I'm like, right. one houseplant isn't enough. I need 27.
Right.
And I need a garden. And sure. I need a greenhouse. Like, I just a simple thing like hanging curtains, which is like real cheap to do and not that hard because I did it myself.
Well,
I'm
sure.
also pretty handy, so HGTV DM Caroline. But I think in that way I'm learning to be more happy with where I'm at.
Yeah.
Even though this is obviously not my forever home and there are still like things that annoy me about it, I still like walk in and I am happy here.
That's great.
So what is that super cliche thing you said to me about you like
bloom where you're planted.
Bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll get that in like yeah. a Mary Englebright
my
painting
next
for you. Yes, again, Mary
bloom
Englebright
where you're
star
planted with style. A photo of my garden.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe houseplants and gardening is teaching me to be more present.
That's wonderful.
And this is the lesson. You need more plants. If you have more plants, you would be happier.
I'm not saying I'm unhappy, Hannah.
Well,
have you been hearing this the wrong way?
I'm diagnosing you and I'm solving your problem. I'm prescribing you plants.
My problem is that I'm too happy right now. I'm worried that I'll be less happy later.
I feel bad for the other peasants who aren't happy.
Like, what do you feel like when your life is so good now? You're afraid that it won't be this good again. That's what I'm saying is happening
I
to me.
I can't relate to unhappiness or hard times,
right.
is what I'm saying.
Yes. Privilege is a weight that no one talks about.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, literally, I don't know. If I talked about how much I like plants, I didn't realize that it comes up in everything now. But it really does. Like, I think that's part of, like, what's teaching me to be happy here. Like, find what makes you happy where you're at. For me, like, bringing other kinds of, like, because, like, I've always said I'm a creator. Mm-hmm. Or like a nurturer.
I'm
and I
God
just
is
thought,
what I'm saying.
I see myself as a deity.
Creator of the universe, whatever you want to say.
I feel like, you know, I feel stressed that I like am happy with just two kids.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, it's maybe not enough.
Right.
But then when I like, I'm like, oh, give me all the pets. Give me all the, like,
right.
like nurturing other things. And I think for me, that's helped to say like, actually like growing and nurturing and bringing sad plants back to life that I found yeah. outside of my yard or something like that. Like that is feeding my soul in ways. So that helps me be present now. So that's what it is for me. Probably you as well. Like you'll get there eventually, but for other
I
people,
I sliced an heirloom tomato earlier and that felt fine.
Felt fine. Didn't feel euphoric.
I felt worse things.
I don't know. Be like nurturing that is what is like what's helping me appreciate the present. But the funny thing about plants is
God, I hope that we talk about them more.
The funny thing is that it's really taught me to appreciate the present because it's so not quick. Like it's not like
yeah.
a quick project. You can just be done with it.
Yeah, there's not instant gratification.
Right.
I think that's great.
Yes, thank you. Instant gratification. You're welcome. It is great. And it is an important lesson that I'm teaching you. So, like, it's just... That's really
okay, so my,
taught me to appreciate long-term.
So the alternate podcast title, Hannah's Damn Plants, is really just flourishing here.
New spinoff.
Yeah, I would say.
Where it's just me. You won't come over to my house.
Okay. If you're interested in listening to more about Hannah's Damn Plants, we'll launch that. You can follow that on Instagram.
I'll stop now.
No, actually.
I'm teaching you a valuable life lesson. So.
I hear it. I hear it through the weeds. Get it? Okay, I can lead this conversation
nice.
To discover.
Appropriate, always. Gardening is always appropriate.
No, I do think that is a great point. When I stop laughing at you, I think it's a really good point. Because you have found something, again, this no pun intended, that grounds you. Which I do think that gives you a really good perspective on both the present
yeah,
and the
yeah,
future. Because
exactly.
when you plant a seed, you're enjoying what's here in the present, but also with an eye on the future.
The potential.
Yeah. So I think that that is true in work. What I'm doing right now in my work is a seed for the future that will grow later, hopefully. And it doesn't mean that I'm wasting my time thinking about the now. It also doesn't mean I'm wishing it away by thinking about the future. They can go hand in hand. And the time that I'm spending with my kids right now, hopefully, is setting them up for a, what's a good plant word for growth? Blossoming.
Growth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just growth. I was like, stamen. I don't know.
I've only been doing it a few months. I'm not a professional yet. I'll ask my mom.
You could have fooled me. No, I think that's great. So thank you, Hannah's Damn Plants, for...
You are welcome. Once again, the plants are the gift that never stops giving. But I don't know. I think...
I think it's great.
I think it's... Being present is important. And there's also a little bit about, like, keeping an eye on the future that's important. But I think it... I can't stress enough how not being on social media helps with that.
Okay.
Like, because you just, it's not that you can't celebrate other people's wins, because I love to do that. Like, I think we try and take a lot of time to talk about women doing real cool things, but it is, it's like too much. It's like the balance. Like, you can't spend all of your time doing that, or you'll spend no time doing you.
For
sure. You know, like, you can't spend all of your time learning. At some point, you have to just, like, jump in and do it.
Yeah, you have to execute.
And I think the level is you need to find where you are inspired, but not overwhelmed or not depressed. That's not the word I'm looking for. Just, I guess, just discontent. Yeah. Where it's like, again, like, oh, this person's 30 and they've done all this. But, you know, it helps me that I follow. Like, specifically, there's a couple of authors that I find really encouraging because, like, they have, like, elementary school kids. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's a life beyond, like, when my kids start school. Mm-hmm. And then I have, like, more time to, like, do things for me again. Like, it's hard when you have young kids because it's really hard to see beyond them being in your house nonstop.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see the potential of the future. And maybe that's also what's helping me, is because soon I'll have two kids in preschool. So that's been my first. Our situations are a lot different as well, which I think is an important part of this, because your situation, like your family fully relies on you being, like, bringing in money. My situation is not like that. So I speak from a pretty high level over here. It isn't quite, like, around the board appropriate.
No, it's not inappropriate. It's your situation. It's great.
Right. It's great. It's great for you. It's great that you can
tell
do that
me more
for
about
you.
That. Yeah, no.
Tell me more about how your plants are your only problem.
But I do think that that's true, though, to find something that does help balance the contentment in your life, because that is ultimately what I always try to keep a check on for myself. If I feel like I am not looking toward the future enough, or that if I'm looking at it too much, of where's my contentment and where is my gratitude in all of this? Because
that's good.
If it feels like it's getting out of balance, usually it's one of those two things is out of whack that I need to check back in on.
Oh yeah, that's good. So,
so I'm a good
what we
person.
Need after you have the thing printed up for me that says bloom where you planted is get one that says check your, like, something.
Check your gratitude.
Yeah, check your gratitude.
I need a gratitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Copyright. It sounded like a good idea at the time.
That's good. Yeah, I think that's good, because, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. It's not going to be plants for everyone.
Yeah.
For losers. Yeah. But, you know, for some, like, it's there. It's got to be something. Maybe it's just being outside. Maybe it's going shopping.
Yeah,
maybe
it's cooking. For me, it's
for
cooking.
You. Yeah, exactly. I think that definitely feeds you cooking, and then, like, feeding people with your cooking.
Yes, for sure.
I can definitely see how that feeds you in the way that, like...
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I'm getting to be Caroline. See, I'm coming into my full self as I'm surrounded by nature.
Okay.
Is that it? Then we're going to wrap up on that note.
Man, I don't know what else we can talk about unless you want to tell us more about plants.
Which I do.
You can download Hannah's new ebook.
For $29.99, because I do need to make money.
That's right. Called I Think This Is How You Do It.
Copyright. Caroline's ghostwriting it, but her name will be nowhere on it.
That's right. And we won't be paid the same. It'll be perfect.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with it. Sounded like a good idea at the time. Okay. So in this whole balance of, are we doing too much? Are we not doing enough? Mm-hmm. On the weekends with the girls, I try to plan fun adventures with me. I want some of our time together that doesn't have to do with work to not feel in competition with work. So I like to do adventures because I realize the other days of the week, the girls are home a lot.
Right.
So we had a really action-packed weekend, including trying to go to the splash pad on Saturday night. Terrible thunderstorm, lots of lightning. Ugh. I was going to be fun at first and like have us go in the rain because I'm like, if we're going to be wet, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. The lightning and thunder kind of had me nervous. So,
rightfully so.
Yeah. Sunday after
call me a helicopter mom. I don't know.
Whatever you want. So Sunday after church, we went straight there. We went and got Happy Meals because I am a real fun time mom.
I did that this week too to be a fun mom.
Did you? Yep. Yes. So we picnicked with our Happy Meals at the splash pad. Everything was going great. I'd packed bathing suits. Everything was awesome. Norbeth had to go to the bathroom at some point, and I was like, just go in the splash pad because I realized, sorry, everyone's sanitation. I was
also,
like,
it's like literally outside. Like, it's as outside. If animals aren't doing that as
yeah,
well.
It's fine. And where this splash pad is, it's like in the middle of a bunch of restaurants. It's like a courtyard at a shopping center.
This does not make it better.
So I'm like, there's nowhere for us to go.
Right.
Like
if you we can't were at go a park, dripping in there. Yeah.
Yeah. If we were at a park, we could go dripping into
right
the public restroom, but there are none.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this will be fine. Everyone can pee how they wish, whatever.
Yeah. Or all of them are doing it.
Yeah. And my goal was you go potty. Anna Blair did too. And then we'll get dried off, get in the car, go home for naps. Well, then they both had code brown situations they had to go number two. And my whole goal was not to go into one of these restaurants.
Right.
So my only option then was the Häagen-Dazs, which I was like, okay, we're going to get out of this thing so cheap because Happy Meals are so cheap.
Right.
And this is going to be like basically a free situation. But I'm like quickly trying to towel them off.
It's going to be like, you might as well have gone to like a nice sit down.
Given blood. Yeah. Or plasma.
Yeah.
So I'm like quickly drying them off with the one towel I brought. Cause I'm like, I don't care if they're that wet, getting in the car, put some dry clothes on them because I realized, well, Häagen-Dazs is going to be cold inside there. I'm going to hear them talk about how cold they are. Then I just realized, like, as we're the only ones traipsing into Häagen-Dazs, like, I'm not going to not buy something.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I do it in a gas station, but like we're the only patrons of this place. I'm sure they get that all the time. Like people coming in just to use the bathroom. And I have three kids under five who are like wet.
Right.
So my like $6 day turned into like a $30 day because I'm like, everyone needs ice cream, including Jane Ellis.
Well, and they can't really share ice cream. It's super hot. It'll melt in 2 seconds. And then like no one will like,
and they
I
want
can't
different
do
flavors.
That either.
Yeah. And like then Anna Blair, you know, she makes this huge mess. I mean, she's so precious, but there's chocolate ice cream from head to toe.
Same with Maya because she eats so slow.
Yeah.
Ice cream is a freaking disaster.
Well, and Jane Ellis now has this like pterodactyl shriek if she sees somebody eating something that she's not.
Sure.
So she and I like shared an ice cream. I mean, it was just like, it was expensive. It was like this whole fun day that I was thrilled about. It still was fun. This is like keeping my eye on this gratitude of super fun. It went great.
Yeah.
The grand scheme of things, what is $18?
But like whatever.
Whatever. Everyone's happy and it's a great memory. And we got good naps out of it. But I was like, public restrooms sound like a really good idea all the time.
Yeah.
Because this patronage is not working for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone would appreciate not having like our soaking wet, grumpy kids traipsing through.
Yeah. And I would certainly be glad not to create this precedent that when we go to the splash pad, then we get ice cream.
Exactly.
At the expensive place.
Exactly. Well, I also did a fun mom thing today. Went to our science museum and spent the day there.
Awesome.
We had to go to the bathroom multiple times.
Sure.
And Milan is bigger. I just sent him into a stall by himself. But Maya, while she has been potty trained for quite a while now, I still bring her in with me and then kind of help her. But I am wearing today this like one piece romper.
It looks
jumper.
So good at you too.
It's so comfortable. It's the best thing ever. But of course, you have to like pull it all the way down to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which is chaos.
I was wearing one yesterday and I had to legitimately dislocate my shoulder every time I tried to take it off to go to the bathroom.
It's like the most convenient piece of clothing, except when you have to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And as you will recall, several weeks ago, Maya made, and since then has made many comments about my boobs and how she likes them on my stomach. And I'm like, well, like,
it makes me laugh every time.
I'm just praying because, of course, it's like super busy because it's the summer and everyone's got summer camps in and out. Like, this bathroom is busy, but somehow still quiet. And her voice carries. So I'm like, she's going to say something about my boobs again on my stomach. And like, I like your boobs on your stomach. And like, everyone's going to hear and it's going to be super awkward. And so I'm sitting there praying, like, please don't say anything. And she didn't say anything about my boobs. But then she goes, what's that on your underwear? And I'm like, what? Nothing. Like, there was actually nothing on the underwear.
But then I'm like, skid marks.
I know. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to say, like, nothing. And then it's going to sound like there's definitely something on my underwear. And then I'm like, what do I say here? Like, I can't just be like, turn around, because, like, there's
no... We don't
no,
look at other people's underwear. I don't know what you
there's
say.
No getting out. It's like, I'm just like... We're never coming back here.
I don't know. This was out too.
Find another science
museum.
That's
like the best shade ever. That's like the
best
thing to say.
Every time she shades me so subtly. Like, she's like, I like your boobs on your stomach. I like your clothes. What's on your underwear? Like, literally nothing. Actually nothing.
I still want to know what's on your underwear.
Like, nothing is on my underwear. Like, I feel like we need to be real clear about this. Maya and Caroline. I am a mature, clean
adult.
What
do you believe is on this underwear?
Anyway, so it sounded like a good idea at the time to be fun moms. And as always, it never is.
I don't know. Mine was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Because no one asked what was on my underwear publicly.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I'm about to plant that idea in Anna Blair's head because she'll do it.
I will say what she did. She got me real good the other night. I finally bought Pond's makeup remover wipes after being tired of washing my face at night. And I noticed two were out of the package. So I was like, oh, this is convenient. So I start wiping off my face, and Anna Blair, with her husky little voice, comes around the corner, looked at me and said, I wiped out on my bottom. And then just walked away, and then came back and went, both of them.
So dropped that little bomb and then left.
As I'm like wiping my eyes, you know, I wiped out on my bottom. Both of them.
Oh, they're the worst. Both her and Maya.
They're a pair.
Yeah.
So if you need, if you have someone that you need trolled.
Yeah. Send to our second children.
Yeah. We'll create a subscription service. We'll send them to you.
Exactly.
Awesome. We'll be
here
next Wednesday. I think
we've all taken some good things away from this.
I feel like there's a lot of good gems here. We'll be back here next Wednesday. In the meantime, share with a friend.
We always love
to increase our community.
We like to hear what you think, too. It's really encouraging for us to get feedback. And Jenna commented that she is also a huge YA fan, as I am.
Oh, yeah.
And she actually recommended a book that I've been really wanting to read as well. So, love it.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking.
If you have books, let us know. We'd like to know.
Yeah. And let us know if you read Educated and Essie. I'm just like, I don't
know. Also, Reese Witherspoon, if you're listening, quickly snatch up the film rights to the Book of Essie.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
I did a bunch of Googling to see if anyone had yet, and it appears no, but I don't believe it.
She and Nicole Kidman could, because they both did Big Little Lies, could kill this.
I want Laura Dern to be the mom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd be so good.
And I already cast Kiernan Shipka as Essie.
Kiernan Shipka. She'd be good. Yeah. That's great. I don't have anything further to add to this.
All right. Great.
I love it. We'll see you next week.